Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of the music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy the wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Hello, everybody. This is Tippy Feldstein here on Tippy Talk. I'd like to welcome you today to an amazing show that we have with a very, very special guest that I know you will enjoy. I'm very happy to have Cynthia Greer joining us today. Cynthia is a dancer and a yoga specialist, but there's much more to that story because she survived cancer and all the implications and complications that come with it. So today we're going to talk about the amazing way that she survived and what she's doing now. But I think this music is a bit too loud and it's drowning me out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lower it or maybe even shut it all off completely. 1 second. There we go. Much better. So now I hope you can hear me better. I would like to welcome Cynthia Greer to our show today. In case you did not hear me, Cynthia is a dancer and a yoga specialist. But Cynthia went through a journey that has taught her how to survive with her mind, body, and spirit combined together in a program that not only saved her life, but she's now teaching other people how to save their life. Cynthia, welcome to Tippy Talk, and thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Tippy, thank you so much for having me. It is an honor to be here. I am very humbled. I want to tell you that.
Wow, that's really nice of you, because you are a very humble person, because I know that you have so much to offer, and you have been through so much, and the fact that people go through a lot, it happens to a lot of people, but with you, what you did was you took what you learned and now you're passionate about helping other people, maybe so that they won't have to suffer a lot of the things that you had to learn as you went along. So I think that's a very beautiful gift that you now have to share with the world. So why don't you start telling us, first of all, What were you doing before all this happened, and then what happened to you?
Well, at the time, I began to feel very overtired, and I was very susceptible to flus and colds. And I would get healed, and then 3 weeks later, I would be sick again. At that time, I was running my own business. My mother's health was in decline, and I was becoming her caregiver, trying to take care of my business, make her doctor's appointments, care for her house, all at the same time. And I couldn't get to the bottom of what was wrong with me. I would go to a laryngologist, and he would say, you are run down. You just need to take it easy. I would go to the dentist, feeling strange things going on in my teeth, and he would tell me it was a sinus infection, that I didn't need any dental treatment. I was fine. And then I would go to the general practitioner, and he would tell me it was an airborne virus. So basically, I was living life, taking care of business, and trying to get to the bottom of my health problem.
Okay, so everybody just told you that you were tired and that you should just rest. But something was definitely wrong, and you knew that something was wrong.
Yes.
Were you doing something extraordinarily to make you tired, or you just were exhausted from everyday life?
I had a very busy schedule. I worked at that time anywhere from 6 to 7 days a week, and it involved a lot of traveling. So I live in California, and I would go anywhere from Los Angeles to the desert to the Inland Empire and sometimes even beyond. So, yes, I was burning the candle at both ends, plus trying to take care of my mother as well.
So you were basically stretching yourself very thin. So when people told
Yes, I was.
So when people told you that you were tired, it made sense because you were working on you know, long hours, traveling and all that.
Yes.
So how did you find out that it was more than that?
Well, several years into my mother's health decline and becoming more run down, a bump appeared on the right side of my tongue. And it was a very painful bump. And I went to the dentist, and they said, it will go away. It looks like it could possibly be a canker sore. It didn't go away. And I ended up going back to my doctor, and he said it was an airborne virus. At that point, my lymph glands in my neck were beginning to swell, and he felt that I had contracted something very similar to mononucleosis, only he wasn't quite sure that that's what it was. He was stumped, but he was positive that it would go away within 3 to 4 months, and it didn't. It kept getting worse. And then I developed a lump on the right side of my neck, and it was very painful. And I knew that something was drastically wrong. In fact, at that point, even before I went back to the doctor and he ordered the biopsy on my tongue, I knew that I had cancer and I was terminally ill. So by the time I had the biopsy and had to wait for 3 weeks to get an answer, I already knew. The only thing they did was confirm that I was in stage 3 cancer. I knew that I was in the death process because of what my body was doing. I had
So you knew that you were terminally ill, but obviously you weren't terminally ill because you're still alive. But I'm just getting ahead of myself here. So you already felt it. Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's really a huge thing that you're saying, that we all really do know what's going on in our life and our body more than we are willing to even admit, or that maybe we even admit it to ourselves, but then nobody else listens, and we just kind of sit back and say, okay, maybe. But you already knew.
Yeah.
Like, you really didn't need the doctor to tell you, but but still. So the doctor came back and he said you were on stage 3 and you had something. What did you have?
I had squamous cell carcinoma of the head and neck. And this is known as the smoker's cancer. It has always been known as that. But I was not a smoker, and I was not a drinker. So at that time, they were coming out with a lot of medical research that said the HPV virus, which can be sexually transmitted, could be another cause of that. Well, I was checked for everything under the sun after I was diagnosed, and it wasn't that. But I did live in a cancer cluster, and everybody around me was getting sick, including the animals. And this was due to a toxic waste that had been dumped in a lab in my area.
That's a whole different story for a whole different day.
Yes, it is.
All that, that would do that. That's horrible. So you said something about squamous cell carcinoma.
It's actually a skin cancer. And it will
skin
show
cancer.
Up.
So is that a fancy way of saying skin cancer?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes,
and when you say the head and the
cancer.
Neck, right, and when you say the head and the neck, you're not talking about your skin.
No, what happened is it started on the tongue, but it had metastasized to the inside of the neck.
Oh, because they
so,
didn't catch it in time.
Yes, so it had gone into a lymph node. It had gone into one lymph node at that time.
So your tongue was infected, your neck was infected, and your head.
Just my tongue and my neck. But it
neck.
Is called cancer of the head and neck.
Oh, I see. Oh, my God. That must have been the shock of your life, although you knew something was wrong. You just didn't know it was that severe. So what did they do? What happened after that?
Well, from that point on, my life began to become the fight to stay alive, to survive. For the next month, I was at the hospital between 8 and 9 hours a day, every day. I had many blood tests that were done. They checked me for many illnesses, any kind of sexually transmitted disease I could have got. Everything that you could think of, they checked me for, including diabetes as well. And from there, I would get an examination every single day. I would have my CAT scans. I would have chest x-rays. And being that this was such a serious surgery that would require me to go into a medically induced coma for several days, they had to make sure that my heart could withstand it. And they wanted to know as much as they could to find out if the cancer had spread anywhere else in the body, because this is something that you really don't know, okay, until the surgeon gets in, until he makes that decision, which would require pulling my neck apart, a gastrectomy, how far the cancer margin was. So they couldn't really tell by the scan if it had hit my bone. So if it hit the bone, that would be a whole different story. That would mean that I would lose my jaw, possibly part of my lower face and part of my cheek as well. So they really couldn't tell at that time.
Right, so basically
so
they would only be able to
Yeah,
so
I
had a lot of
counseling.
Right, I had a lot of counseling.
After they do the surgery, after they open you up.
Right, and they told me what to expect with my life, how my life was going to drastically change, that I may lose my jaw. As a result, I would be disfigured. I would have to use a tracheal tube in my throat, wouldn't be able to eat. My talking would be very muted. And that there was reconstructive surgery that could be done. There was jaw replacement. But we would have to cross that bridge as we came to it. The recovery period would be very long. And if I did lose my jaw, I would be living in a trach for a period of time because reconstructive surgery was something that couldn't be done right away. I would have to go through the cancer treatments first. So I would need to go through 1 month of very intensive radiation before I could go any further. And then there would be a recovery period from that.
So did you go through all that?
Yes, I did. I went through a month of very high dosages of radiation. I stayed, first of all, in the hospital for 1 month, and then I came home, I had a rest, and then they started the treatments shortly after.
And how did it leave you when they were done with the treatment? What situation were you in?
Okay, well, I had already lost one half of my tongue, and I had lost an entire chain of lymph nodes, plus the surrounding tissue in my neck. So I was very swollen to begin with, but I became more swollen from the radiation, and the radiation burned off all of the tissue inside my mouth, because they were directing the beam onto what was left of my tongue. So I would get the first beam on my tongue, then they would readjust the machine, and I would get the second beam onto my neck. And I had to wear a mask that had been made for me, so that my skin wouldn't get too burned. It still did get the radiation rays and some burning, but not as much. And then after they put the mask on to me, they would strap my neck down with a metal bar so that I wouldn't move. So, I couldn't taste.
So, I know.
I couldn't taste. And I was very swollen. And, of course, I couldn't speak very well because I had lost half my tongue. And then I had the continued swelling. I had nausea all of the time, and I couldn't eat.
Wow. So you lost a lot of weight?
Yes, I lost 40 pounds.
Wow. So it sounds like you went through a perfect nightmare, but I know there's a lot more details to it, and I know that there's a lot of things that you went through, probably through the healing process, but how is your taste now?
My taste is wonderful. In fact, it's a little too good, if you want my honest opinion. I love my food. I have party appetite. I'm a gourmet cook, and I eat because food is a part of the celebration of life, and I am very happy to be alive.
Yes, considering that you had a near-death experience here, I would be definitely. You appreciate life much more when you're on the brink of having to give it up.
and you still have life left. I think that's when you really appreciate what you have left and you make the best of it. And it sounds like you are making the best of it. So what are you doing now?
Well, I had many years of recovery, and the radiation affects the body in many ways, not just the head and neck. And so I lost my balance. I had problems with my dental, which affected my entire life. So what happened after the treatments was I actually became sicker because I developed a secondary disease, which is osteoradionecrosis, bone death. And so I had to go for more treatment for that, and I also developed neuropathy in my feet. So I was losing my mobility in the years I was in recovery. And I knew that if I didn't get it back, that I was not going to live that long. And if I did, it wouldn't be the quality of life that I wanted. Being that I had began yoga at the age of 14, I knew it was time to go back to it, even though I could no longer do the standing poses due to the dizziness. I had to find a way to do yoga because that would be the key to getting my mobility back. So
That's very interesting. I love that you did that, and I'll tell you, I have been hearing it consistently. When I was paralyzed and I was in excruciating pain, yoga saved my life. But again, I couldn't really do poses. But I started doing yoga, and then you forget about your intention and you start getting into the physical abilities of what your body can actually do. Is that what happened to you?
That is exactly what happened to me. And from there, I began to belly dance again. And I ended up, 5 years later, back at professional level, dancing actually much better than when I was in my early 20s. And so from that point on, I knew that I could help other women who were in recovery from catastrophic illness or post-traumatic stress, because all of it has so much to do with the body. And as we know, anything that we go through on a mental or an emotional level does affect the body. And so I took time developing my program, and when I felt comfortable with it, I opened up a business and I began to offer my services in the community to women who were in need. And those that were having health difficulties, problems with mobility, found their way to me. And so I was teaching adaptive yoga, belly dancing, but more importantly, body, mind, and spirit, that you cannot do one without the other because all three are connected.
You said that mental and emotional affect the body, and so what you're saying now is that the body also affects our mental and emotional, so it's kind of like a cycle?
It all ties in. Every bit of it ties in, because I know from my own experience, because I was disfigured from the cancer, and I know what that does on a mental level when your face is altered. There is nothing like that. It is far beyond a few lines and wrinkles. I'm talking a massive amount of tissue loss that causes the lower part of the face to actually cave in. And in doing so, the face begins to prematurely wrinkle around the bottom of the mouth. And even though you've never smoked, you look like a smoker, and you look twice the age of what you really are.
So yeah,
So there are 25-year-old women that have had this surgery that get mistaken for 60. So, yes,
right.
I will be the first to tell you that mentally and emotionally, it does a number on you.
Yeah.
It does.
No question about that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So you said that you help women who are in need. Does that mean you do not help men who are in need?
I do help men, yes. It's something I did not plan on doing. I really didn't plan on it because I'm in a female body, and I know how a woman's body works, and I understand women's emotions. But I do work with men as well. I have never taught them yoga, but I do what is called lifestyle counseling. And even though I'm not a counselor, so this disclaimer here, but basic spiritual information, because I am an empath, I do work at the level of the soul, as to what they could be doing to block themselves, and then I point them in the right direction of someone that can help them on a physical level with the type of exercise regime and guidance that is right for them. But my work is definitely spiritually based, and I want to make that very clear, because it can't be otherwise, because everything that happens is at a soul level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you see it so clearly, but there are a lot of people, a big percentage of our population, that are even questioning the fact that a spirit even exists.
Exactly.
So what would you say to someone who tells you, you know, I really want to believe that I have a spirit, but I don't see the proof, and I'm a scientist, and if I don't see the proof, then I can't really believe that my spirit or my soul even exists. So can you prove that to me?
Well, first of all, I don't try to prove anything. I believe that is a part of a person's unique personal journey. And so because I have come across this, is I welcome them to come and talk to me and to take a class from me. And if they like it, and they want to continue on, then they will do so. And if they don't, they will move on. And the interesting thing about this is the people that I meet that tell me they don't want the spiritual are the ones that end up staying.
Interesting.
So go figure on that one. The ones that say, I don't want to know anything about meditation, I have my beliefs, I don't want anything about the spiritual, I just want to work with my mobility, they are the ones that not only end up staying, but end up making a lot of progress.
Yeah, that's so very interesting, because
it
you
blew
find
me
that
away.
The people that Right, the people that resist you the most are probably the people that need you the most. probably the people that need your services the most.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And by the way,
you
said, yeah, and you said that the situation is a lot worse than a few lines and wrinkles, and I don't want you to think that lines and wrinkles are not a huge thing. You're saying this is a lot bigger, and I get that. But when you get lines or wrinkles or swollen eyes or stuff like that, that could be really big. And it's not
yes,
just a few
can.
Wrinkles.
Yes, it can. And in no way am I minimizing that at all. But the thing with radiation treatment is once the skin has been irradiated, okay, you have to have a microvascular surgeon in order to
right.
be reconstructed. Because
right.
if someone not trained in that does plastic surgery on you, the skin will die. And then you will have
a bigger
mess, because what they have to do is, in order to reconstruct you, it's basically a partial facelift.
Right.
So they're going in and they are going to cut behind the ears and the back of the neck on both sides.
Right.
And they're going
wow.
to trim off the skin that has died and pull it up, and you will be reconstructed. You will also
wow.
have many other stages of reconstruction. They cannot do this all in one surgery. So
right.
you are looking at over a period of years. And you can't
right.
go into it that you will be looking exactly as you did before the cancer. You have to be very
right.
realistic, because you've lost tissue. And there is only
right.
so much they can do to reconstruct you. So it's not like a normal woman going in for cosmetic reasons. This
right.
is
exactly.
like a person basically
okay.
who's been in a war. It's just a different
type
way
of
that
war.
They have to go about it. Yes, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so one more question. You said that people can come to you to take classes or to do conferences. Do you do classes only in person?
I do my classes in person. I believe I will work with people over the phone, but there is only so much of that I can do. We are in an age of very high technology, and in many ways that's very good, and has brought a lot of people together, but also at a community level and a personal level, it has caused people to be very lax in their relationships. And when you are working with a teacher, you are building a relationship. That
mm-hmm.
personal contact, face-to-face, is extremely
right.
important. And
right.
I believe
right.
this is what we are lacking in the medical
yes.
field. Okay? Mm-hmm. We are lacking that here in the USA. And it has really set us back. So with all the technology that we have, we are actually moving backwards, because we don't have the funding for programs like this. Because
right.
people don't care about the personal end of things.
Yes, they have totally taken away the personal interface.
Yes.
We and in one hand, I can see how much we're lacking from personal interface, and I think that that's one area that as a society, we can definitely work on that. But I also see the positive side of it is where you could actually connect and get a pretty personal relationship with someone that's not within your area of contact, of physical
contact.
That's
the positive side, yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. So that's the two good things. So if somebody loves you and wants to work with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, I'm active in my community. If they're at a distance and they would like to book me for group classes or a lecture, I can be found on YouTube simply under Cynthia Greer. And you will see me. My icon is that of a belly dancer. I am in costume. You'll see me from the bus step. And then from there, you can click on to any of my videos and get a sample of how I lecture and how I teach. And then in my own community, I have ads that I run, and I have a neighborhood website, so people know me through the community, on the city council, my neighbors. That's how people find me. And also, too, because
wonderful.
I'm a belly dancer, I perform at local events. And so usually I am offered the microphone before I dance or after I dance, and they always want to know about my business. So that's how people find me.
Okay, so if I go on Facebook and I do / Cynthia Greer, that's where I would find your website, your Facebook site?
No, I don't have a Facebook account. No,
mm-hmm.
And my neighborhood is just for our area. It's something within the community. But if you go on YouTube, you can find me very easily.
And how do
we
contact you other than YouTube?
My email will be in the description box right below the screen on YouTube. Anybody
wonderful.
Can contact me. Yes,
wonderful.
I'm quite
wonderful.
Accessible. I don't do Facebook or Instagram or any of those other things simply because I don't have time. That would take away from what I am doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
it'll take away a lot more than that. It takes away. It really robs you time once you get lost in the social and other internet elements that is addictive.
Yes, I only have so much time a day for social media. Everything else is spent in perfecting what I do, my time with people, and I'm finishing the editing of my book that already has a copyright. So,
awesome.
Yes, so my time is very precious. Not to mention the fact that in order to do this work, I have a designated time for meditation every day because
mm-hmm.
I have been practicing transcendental meditation for many decades now. And so I need a lot of quiet time and space to completely empty my mind so that I can go into nirvana. And I can do that very quickly.
Right. Great, Cynthia. I think you're doing wonderful work, and I'm so glad that you survived. I know it's been such a nightmare, but you did come through to the other side. You are able to have a very nice quality life, and that's pretty much amazing. So anyone that's going through a tough time, anyone that's going through something that is so challenging, they can reach out to you. They can go check out your YouTube. They know how to get a hold of you. You are very accessible, and you really are so filled with light and love that we can definitely feel it just by hearing you. So I know that your YouTube messages are very, very powerful too. So let me just review real quick. You're a belly dancer, you're a yoga instructor, you're an empath, and now you have a new thing where you teach people how to heal through their mind, body, and spirit. Did I get
yes.
everything?
Yes, you did. And I want to make something very clear here. When we talk about healing, okay, I am talking about working within the limitation of where you are at right now. We may not go all the way back to the way we were before. If it's a situation with paralysis, we may not all the way come back. But what I teach is learning to work within that limitation. And the most important thing is healing the emotions and the mind, because when that becomes clear, you are not burdened down with the negative thought of defeat, because it takes a tremendous amount of energy to think negatively, and this is one of the things I teach in my program. Not to deny what's happened, okay, and not to live in denial about anything and say, oh, I'm so happy I've released it, everything's perfect, and in the meantime you're festering with all this anger and resentment over what happened. No, it's a process. You know, we work through those issues. We address them, and we face every feeling, emotion, issue, and fear, but learn to move beyond it, release it, let it go, and a new energy comes in.
Right.
That allows you to begin to work on yourself, and that's what it's really all about.
Exactly. That was so beautifully said that we cannot top that with anything else. So I would like to really thank you, first of all, for being you and doing this amazing work. And thank you so much for joining us. We definitely want to get updates and hear more about you in the future. But for now, I want to thank everybody for tuning in for this important show. I know that you will learn a lot from it, and I would definitely connect with Cynthia. Check out the YouTube channel. It is such a great way to communicate with people, and I just love YouTube. There's so much information that I get there. And if you feel compelled to email, go ahead and email. Do you have any last words that you want to leave our people with, Cynthia?
To never give up.
Never give up. That is the perfect way to end it.
Never give up.
Never give up. I'm actually writing that as part of the show. Never give up. That is the most powerful thing that anyone can give you, because the only way you can fail is if you give up.
Yes.
Thank you for, thank you so much for joining us. I am just sad that we've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. Thank you, Cynthia Greer, who not only is an inspiration, but also helps people get inspired themselves. We are looking forward to hearing from you again soon. It's been such a great pleasure speaking with you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tippy. I just really appreciate it, and my blessings and love to all who are listening and to you for having me as your guest. Thank you.
Thank you, and don't forget, everybody, that we want your story. We're here to listen to your story and share your gift. It could be a story. It does not have to be super spectacular, inspirational. You don't have to try to top everybody else. It's just your personal thing. Here at Tippy Show, your story is special, and we want to hear about it. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein. We bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion.
I know you're busy for lunch, taking pictures of your car. Girl, you don't need a man. You got a phone in your hand, and you can keep it silent. Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart is on autopilot.
This whole song, like I try to say when I was very rudely interrupted by the music, which I love this music, then I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened to me. And we mentioned it in the show about how yoga saved my life. And I just want to reiterate about that yoga thing and how it saved my life. If you don't know yet, and if you've not been listening to the show before, I have gone through a near fatal experience when my car crashed. My car just broke down. And it wasn't an old car. It was almost brand new. It was like 6 or 7 months old. And when I was paralyzed and because my back was broken, most people that do experience that kind of paralysis, which is temporary because just my T11 cracked. Well, it wasn't just my T11, but when your T11 cracks, it causes what they call sclerosis, I think. It's when your back hunches because your spinal cord can no longer sustain itself and be straight. And most people that go through that are in excruciating pain all the time. They always have back pains and they always have issues with their back. And I think what saved my life, and I think the way that I was able to get over that and not experience the pain, although I don't know if my back is really curved. It might be a little bit, but I can't tell. Because when I look in front of the mirror, I straighten myself out. So when I'm naturally standing, I think it does have a little bit of curvature. But if you didn't know that I went through an accident, you would not see it. So I just want to reiterate and let you know that if you are suffering from any kind of physical pain, any kind of physical trauma, disease, anything, and you're in the recuperation state, yoga, when I say yoga, I don't mean that you have to do the yoga mantras and you have to listen to the namaste and actually do what they say, practice yoga. Because the practice of yoga is not what I'm promoting and not what I'm saying you should do. I actually am very much against practicing any religion, because practicing yoga is a religion. And if you're not aware of that, you should be, because that's why they use specific chants, specific words, bowing down, and specific rituals of practicing yoga. What I'm talking about is the physical stretching and toning into your body, the physical ability to manipulate your body into different positions. Without the practice, without the religion, without worshiping whatever it is that practice worships. And so yoga is healing because it is about using your body to heal. And your body, soul, and spirit are connected. So when you use your body to heal, it falls over onto the soul and onto the spirit, and you experience complete healing. And so stretching, dancing, walking, running, all those physical activities are great. But if you do any physical activity without stretching, without warming up enough, and without cooling down enough, you actually could be causing more pain and more damage to your body than you are healing and benefits that you are giving it from doing heavy exercises. And it's the stretching and the getting in touch with the inner parts of your body that actually starts the healing if you're getting over a trauma. And my specific trauma was a car accident that had left me broken, with tons of fractures all over my upper body, with collapsed lungs where breathing was not even hardly possible, with broken shoulders, broken ribs, broken bones, and a cracked T11. And the journey and the pain was one thing, but when I got over that journey and I got home, I was actually sent home on hospital bed, paralyzed to the point my paralysis was so severe that I couldn't even sit up, because if I would have sat up, my bones would not have healed properly. They actually did not heal the way they were before. They healed in a little bit of a crooked and out of whack way, because there's no way to set the shoulder bones back where they were unless you go back and break it and realign it, which made no sense to me to do surgery just for my shoulders to be aligned properly, since it doesn't hurt. Does it cause any other discomfort, or is it going to cause me any other misalignment? And I think yes, because actually 10 years after my accident, when I went to a chiropractor, he found a few inches on one side was shorter than the other side, or one side was longer, depending on how you look at it. So yeah, it did cause some kind of misalignment, which could potentially cause a lot of other problems. But if I could survive that fatal day, that birthday that I will never forget, where my car just went over and over and over and then landed at the bottom of the hill, where I really thought was the end and I really wanted it to be the end. But as it turned out, it was actually just the beginning. And that's what I want you to understand. If you're going through a tough time now and you think this is impossible, this is the end, I cannot go on living like this, I want you to know that it could possibly be only the beginning of something really beautiful, only the beginning of something that is going to become your gift for the rest of your life. And if you've been holding past that music and past that show to hear this, I bless you. I am so thrilled that you were here, and I would love to hear your comments. So email me at tippytalkshow@gmail.com. That's T-I-P-P-Y, talkshow@gmail.com. And let's get a dialogue going. Thank you for listening, and have a very, very blessed week.